This is Omar Ismail.
And this is Maggie Fick. We're here from the Enough Project to speak about our strategy paper, Darfur Rebels 101. The date is January 29th, 2009.
It is conventional wisdom among diplomats, journalists, and analysts that Darfur's rebel groups are hopelessly fractured into scores of rival factions, most of which are little more than clusters of bandits who seek to profit from lawlessness and chaos that has resulted from the war. At a recent event in Washington, a former White House Special Envoy for Sudan, Andrew Natsios, claimed that there are, quote, dozens of independent groups operating in Darfur. While this may have been true for a period of time, this narrative of an irreparably fragmented rebellion is music to the ears of the Sudanese government, its supporters, and those pundits who seek to find moral equivalency between the Sudanese government and Darfur's rebels. The facts on the ground tell a different story. While there are certainly divisions among the various rebel factions in Darfur, only four groups are relevant to peace negotiations, and the differences between them owe more to personal and ethnic rivalries than substantive differences over the issues central to most Darfuris.
In our paper, we sought to identify Darfur's key rebel groups and explain what they represent, what divides them, and most importantly, what could potentially unite them if a credible, sustained, and internationally backed peace effort was put in place. Based on the Enough Project's regular and extensive contacts with key rebel officials, our strongly held view is that Darfur's rebels largely agree on the basic issues that must be addressed in order to bring about peace in Darfur. We will discuss these issues shortly. Moreover, these core demands are consistent with those of Darfur's citizens, who are represented by civil society groups, women's coalitions, and diaspora organizations. As the United Nations African Union Joint Mediation Team, led by Jibril Bassoole, begins to circulate a framework agreement for Darfur, it can blunt the divisions among the major rebel groups by first establishing an inclusive negotiation structure that involves Darfur civil society groups, and then by focusing negotiations on these shared core demands.
The rebellion in Darfur has never been cohesive, but the decision by one rebel faction to sign a peace agreement with the government 2006, that is the Darfur Peace Agreement, significantly exacerbated pre-existing divisions, causing the rebels to splinter into a dizzying number of factions in the weeks and months that followed. In the past year, however, a single dominant rebel group has emerged, along with three smaller but important factions. The most dominant rebel group currently in Darfur is the Justice and Equality Movement, or JEM, and the other three important entities are factions of the Sudan Liberation Movement, or SLA.
The bottom line with the Justice and Equality Movement is that they are the best armed and most tightly organized Darfuri rebel group today, and their participation in negotiations is essential to reaching a durable peace agreement. The three key SLA factions are led by former comrades and now rival commanders, Abdul Wahid, Mini Manawi, and a coalition composed primarily of Zagawa fighters, known as the SLA Unity. Despite diminishing military and political relevance, the SLA faction led by Abdul Wahid remains significant because the buy-in of Abdul Wahid himself is a useful component to a peace agreement, given that he remains the most outspoken and visible leader from Darfur's largest ethnic group, the Furs. The second SLA faction is led by Mini Manawi, and as the sole rebel signatory of the already largely defunct Darfur Peace Agreement, or DPA, Mini Manawi is positioned to put the final nail in the DPA's coffin and help persuade his backers in the international community to mount a more inclusive new process. The final SLA faction, known as SLA Unity, has serious internal leadership divisions, yet it also maintains territorial control in North Darfur and could become a spoiler if left out of the peace process. In our paper, we explain in much greater detail the background and core concerns of each rebel faction, but we would like to move now to discussing the common calculations of the groups, namely, what unites the rebels.
Although divided by allegiance, rebel groups share a roughly similar core set of political demands. Three sets of issues must be part of any peace agreement. These must be discussed in a process that includes not just the key rebel group mentioned before, but also civil society organizations and diaspora groups. These three issues are political empowerment, security, and the welfare of all Darfurians. The rebels have indicated that their vision of power sharing means representation for Darfuris in all sectors of government and in the Sudanese armed forces in proportions that are consistent with with the census of 1993.
In terms of security, peace in Darfur is not possible without a radical change to the security situation in the region and a substantive restructuring of the security apparatus in Khartoum. First, the United Nations African Union Hybrid Peacekeeping Force, or UNAMID, must be fully deployed and afforded unrestricted access throughout Darfur. Second, the international community must support and closely monitor a comprehensive disarmament process known as DDR that disarms the Janjaweed militias, dismantles the government institutions that support them, and demilitarizes the other armed groups and bandits. Third and finally, a peace agreement must allow for the safe and voluntary return of the 2.5 million displaced Darfuris to their homes.
In terms of welfare, the government of Sudan must agree to allocate substantial funds for a restitution process with international oversight to ensure that the funds are dispersed fairly. The hotly contested question of land tenure and property ownership in Darfur must also be addressed.
Now, shifting away from the Darfur rebel groups and to the importance of engaging Darfuri civil society, the divide-and-destroy tactics of the Sudanese government and, to a lesser extent, the tensions between various rebel factions have highlighted ethnic differences in Darfur. Nonetheless, members of Darfuri civil society have demonstrated courage and leadership throughout the conflict and are working toward peace.
Meaningful participation by civil society actors will be crucial to broadening support for peace negotiations among Darfuris and ensuring popular ownership of both the peace process and its outcomes. Rebel divisions are not the primary obstacle to peace in Darfur. The international community must not allow Khartoum to blame rebel divisions for the government's inaction to end Darfur's suffering, nor are rebel groups to be blamed for the international community's failure to mount an effective diplomatic strategy for dealing with Sudan's multiple crises.
Although divided by personalities and power struggles, Darfur's rebel groups and civil society leaders share the common goal of peace and justice for their people. A credible peace process to resolve the war is feasible, but requires leadership from the international community. Sustained pressure should be placed on Khartoum to ensure it does not obstruct the consensus building between Darfur's armed and unarmed constituencies.
With sufficient political will and substantial diplomatic efforts, Darfuris can find common ground and peace agreement could be within reach. Thanks for joining us.
And we hope you will read our paper, Darfur Rebels 101, available at www.enoughproject.org.